Hey, welcome to FQ,
where we talk about faith, family, and friends.
I'm Jacob.
And I'm George.
And welcome to this week's podcast. Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. It is just me and a special guest. It is Thursday, December 9th, 2021. This podcast will come out tomorrow, so as long as I can get it out tonight, possibly. But this week we have a super special guest, our friend Jessica from TikTok. We just met. I've watched her stuff a lot, but how you doing, Jessica?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Oh, no problem. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Found you on TikTok. What's your TikTok name and all that good stuff?
So my username on TikTok is JessicaGeiger13. And nobody ever spells Geiger right. It's kind of like Geico car insurance. So like G-E-I-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Everybody always wants to put the I before the E. I don't know why. But yeah, JessicaGeiger13. You can find me on there.
And you'll find her in the notes of this podcast. So just in case you don't know how to spell it or don't, even knowing she spelled it to you guys, just saying, you can click there.
Geico car insurance. Easy way to remember. But yeah. So anyways, about me, I am a youth pastor. I've been a youth pastor for 3 years now. I've been youth pastoring since I was 18 years old. So pretty much I graduated high school and the Lord just opened a door for me to become a youth pastor. And I've been doing that ever since and been doing that for the last 3 years. I'm also a worship pastor at my church right now. And I've been doing that for about a year now. So currently I'm serving as both worship and youth pastor. So it's been a great experience and I absolutely love what I do. So
that's awesome. Sorry, I'm disconnecting from the Wi-Fi just in case I disappear. As long as we hear each other, we're good. So what is your story? Like, how'd you grow up? Did you grow up with mom, dad? What does that look like?
So, my parents were divorced, and so I grew up with my mom. My mom is awesome. She has done such a phenomenal job raising me. I turned out all right, you know, so she did good, but, she's awesome. She's always, you know, had me very involved in church and, she's always believed in me and supported me and, pretty much anything I've ever set my mind to, she's on board with it. And so she was one of the first people in my life to actually recognize my calling into ministry. And she was very supportive of that. So I will always be very grateful to her for believing in me, even when I didn't necessarily believe in myself. So
that's awesome. So when did you get saved? How did church look like? How's your relationship with your father and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So, my whole like salvation thing is, it's one of those, like, I don't remember the exact day I got saved because I was so raised in church that
me too.
It was just like, some people are like, my salvation birthday is this. And I'm like, I cannot tell you the day. Like, I don't remember. I mean, I know I'm saved, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, and I think about the age 5 or 4, I really understood what it meant to be a Christian. Like, I could comprehend that Jesus died for my sins and what that meant. So I had an understanding about that. So, I grew up in church. I've always been very involved and active in church, and I've always loved church. Like, that was just a huge part of my life growing up, and I always loved it. Like, if the church doors were open, I wanted to be there. So we were always there. So that's kind of that.
So how was high school for you? And what about your dad? How's your relationship with your dad and stuff like that?
We don't live in the same state, but, you know, that's just one of those situations, you know, so my parents got divorced when I was at a very young age. So really what I've always known growing up is my mom being in that parental figure role. There's no like hard feelings though. You know what I mean? Like I'm okay. But high school, so I went to a Christian high school and, that was awesome. I loved, to me, school was always like a social thing. It was never like a,
That's me too. Yeah. I was like, this is a blast.
Same here. Yes. Social hour for sure. So I loved it. I loved making friends and getting involved in all the clubs and activities. You know, I went to a Christian high school and I'm very thankful for my Christian education that I had. The only problem was I went to a school and we actually talked about this before the podcast started about women in ministry. I went to a school that kind of frowned upon females in pastoral roles. And I'll never forget this one week we were doing a job shadow week where you got to take a whole week. It was like a little mini master thing and you could job shadow anybody you wanted. And so I wrote down like 5 different pastors that I wanted to job shadow that week. I had the whole thing lined up. It was going to be awesome. And I got called into the principal's office and she sat me down and she goes, well, I really want you to job shadow someone that has a career that you could actually have. And I want you to take this seriously. Yes. And I just kind of looked at her and I was like, those are careers I can actually have. And so that was kind of a little obstacle I had to face with my school. But other than that, like, you know, I'm thankful I went to a Christian school because that's kind of where I learned a lot about scriptures and context of scriptures and stuff. So I'm thankful for my Christian education I was able to receive. But
did she that say was kind of a why she didn't think you could be a pastor?
It's their denominational belief was that.
So I would, so this is my snarkiness coming out, but in my mind, I'm like, then how are you a head principal?
Right.
Cause
right.
You're.
Or why do we have female teachers teaching math?
Yeah. So. And I was like, you're the principal. You're the head over the school. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
So.
For sure.
That's interesting. And so
I think
my very first video or my second video I saw of you was where you're doing videos of where, like, I think it was how pastors leave church or something. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's like where you did like the pastor, the worship leader, associate pastor, youth pastor, like what they did. I can't remember
what it was. Was it the VBS one?
Yeah, it's a VBS one. That was it.
The Waves of Mercy.
Yeah. That's 100% it. I was like, I can't remember what it was, but the youth pastor one I wrote on there, that's exactly right.
Yes.
So if you guys haven't seen that, you definitely need to see that video. But thanks. So how much, so I know for me personally, I have struggled like figuring out where I like landed in that aspect of should women preach, should they not, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I've never, so here's the kicker, and a lot of people might not like this, I don't care, is that my grandma ran a church, and I think I told you about this. She was the head pastor of a church, and she preached the gospel, and everybody, and I've pushed this against people who are like, oh, women shouldn't do that. I'm like, everybody's supposed to preach the gospel. Like, yeah, there's not one person that should not. Like, the Bible doesn't say, well, women don't preach the gospel, but men, yes, you need to. And so there's a lot of times where people are like, well, that's not biblical. So how have you challenged that? And because I know you've probably gotten that on TikTok especially, because it seems like everybody is fluent in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and all that.
On
and so,
TikTok.
Yeah, and so everybody knows best. So
yeah.
What how have you dealt with that? Because, or have you dealt with that, I guess I should say.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I've definitely gotten that on TikTok a lot. It's so funny to me, and this is just kind of like a sidebar on that. I could post a video of me breathing in a church, and somebody will comment and be like, you're blaspheming, and like, you know, like, you're a hypocrite, and how do your students take you seriously? Like, the worst, I mean, like, the best worst comment I've gotten was, I don't understand how any student can sit there and listen to you preach because you're a female. And I mean, at some point you just kind of got to laugh because you're like, man, these are just ridiculous. Like, really? Like,
yeah.
Cause at some point it's not, it's, you don't have a spiritual biblical problem with me. You're just sexist. Like, you know, you would probably treat women like that in any setting. And I think I actually made a video addressing, like, some of y'all are not concerned with your doctrine and your theology. Some of you are just, you know, anti-women, you know? So, but yeah, I've definitely gotten some of that on TikTok. And like I said, it could literally be any video and I will get some sort of comment. So it seems like it really just, it triggers people for some reason. Like, it makes them mad. It makes them mad that there's women preaching. And my advice, if you're a female in ministry listening to this right now, you know, you got to put it in perspective and just like, they're not the one that called you. So they're not the one that can remove that calling from you.
Yeah.
So like, you didn't call me to this and you're not going to tell me, you know, to stop because you're not the one that put this calling on my life. So that's my encouragement is, there's always, no matter what you do, even if you work for Aflac Insurance, there's always going to be somebody that has something to say about you. And you just got to take it for what it's worth, which is nothing. Like, they did not call you, and, you know, wish them the best and move on and you'll be okay. Like, it's okay. With that being said, it is so important to have a support system. If you're a female in ministry, because honestly, those comments, if I didn't have a supportive family or a supportive church or supportive students, those comments would eventually get to me and they would get me down and they would bother me. And I could see where sometimes if you let those like in so much in your head, eventually you may give up on your calling. And so if you're listening to this and you feel discouraged or you feel like you don't have anybody that believes in you or supports you and your calling, there are people out there that are pro you being in ministry. I'm definitely one of them. And my encouragement to you is, you got this, and get some people in your corner that are going to cheer you on and rally behind you and support you.
For sure. And I think, so I guess to push even you a little bit further, what Bible verses do they use and how do they try to use them against you, I guess, because I think it's important that, because somebody probably listening right now might get that same push, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could remember the exact reference. If I mention this, you'll probably know, and maybe you can put it in your show notes, but, and you may know this, but it's in a letter that Paul was writing to a church, and it was about how women must remain silent in the churches. That's the one I get all the time. And if you read that verse and you didn't read everything surrounding it and you didn't do historical research and you didn't look at context of the time and you just took that sentence for just read that where it says women must be silent in the church. Okay. I get why you think women can't preach. I get that.
Yeah.
But when you actually understand the meaning of scripture and what was going on in that time, it is very clear that that is not, Paul was not anti-women in ministry and Paul was not anti-women preaching. Just what was going on in that church at that time, you know, that needed to be said and that needed to be addressed because the women were not educated. The women in that certain town were actually worshiping like some female God. And so what they were saying in the synagogues or in the chapels where the Bible was being preached and taught was blasphemy to do that in the house of the Lord, because they're talking about some other God that they worship. And so basically Paul is telling Timothy at one point, like, it's just best when you handle this church that those women remain silent, because it's going to just cause chaos and disorder. So, you know, I think you just got to look at who was he writing. Like, the thing is, it's a letter. Yeah. And in letters, if I write you a letter and I say, "Dear Susie," and I give Susie instructions, well, if you read that, who was I giving instructions to? Susie. Those were specific directions for her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's things we can learn, obviously, in Paul's letters to the church, but some of them were specific to that church's problems.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And I think one of my friends that mentioned it that same way of, like, there was issues with the time of what women were doing, and they're asking questions while they were preaching or doing stuff. And he was like, so he kind of was like, "Hey, ask your husbands later." Like, it wasn't a mean thing. It was more of like, you have a lot of questions, and we love that. We love that you want to know. And I think if people watch The Chosen, that's a perfect example of the two women learning the Bible together. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, but
I haven't yet. Everybody always talks about that. I need to watch it.
I did the same thing. I'm like not a clout chaser when it comes to like movies and shows. And I'm like, because people would be like, "Watch the Squid Games." And I was like, "I'm never watching that." But like,
no, I cannot keep up with the captions at the bottom. I'm not doing that today.
And so, like, I mean, people will say that about other movies, like, and I'm just like, I'll watch it when I feel like people have been telling me to watch The Chosen, and I finally was like, you know what? Fine. I'll watch The Chosen. And I watched it. Mind you, I loved it. Like, it was probably the best looking Jesus there's ever been, and the way he acted and all that. And like, people you always have critics, so it doesn't matter. But like, overall, a lot of people really liked it. And then what's interesting is it was like Mary Magdalene, and I can't remember the other lady's name. Somebody will know on the, that will message us or something. But they both were like, we don't, because Mary Magdalene's like, "I really don't know the Bible." And they kind of just were like, we need to learn. And so they're learning together. So one knew how to read and the other one didn't, but she never read like the scriptures or anything. And so she started doing that. And so that's kind of the aspect of, hey, these are why things were said then, but it doesn't mean, I mean, for instance, I'm probably going to just go off on a rabbit trail here, is that people will think that certain things that are the Holy Spirit are gone, like healing, for instance. And you're like, really? That's weird. Well, then I guess you won't meet your full potential. I don't know what to tell you, because God still heals today and does miracles. Too often people will just clump things like that instead of, hey, what's the Bible say? Preach the gospel. It doesn't say, hey, dudes only preach the gospel. That's it. I mean, I if it said that, it'd be very specific in that kind of aspect of like, hey, you do that. And and I just can't see why God would say, nobody can do it, because there are certain people that have that gift, that the Holy Spirit like gives them that gift and they can use it. And so, I don't know. Sure. I just find it odd that so many people get in those rabbit trails of like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, so if you don't mind me asking, have any youth asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior in your ministry? Ever.
Have any youth in my my ministry? I've been at my church now for 3 years, and we've seen lots of salvation. And sometimes it's students that come once and then they don't come back, and you try to stay involved with them, you try to get connected with them, but they were just kind of like a first-time visitor or something. But we've definitely seen a lot of that, and a lot of responses with altar calls for sure.
And my point being is, if you're listening right now, getting angry or upset that this young lady here is preaching the gospel and kids are getting saved, what are you doing? If you're bashing on her or you're bashing on other people, what are you doing? Who did you lead to Jesus this week or last month or last year? Or are you just sitting on TikTok or on your platform going, oh, these people are heretics or horrible people? What are you doing to spread the gospel? I'm just saying.
It's definitely a challenge for all of us.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, you said it. There you go.
Well, I've been real frustrated with TikTok lately just because I keep seeing that, like, time and time again, somebody telling somebody they're wrong. And I'm like, and I'm guilty of it too. Like, who have I led to Jesus in a while too? I'm saying I'm just as guilty. And so, but I'm like, but who are you to just go and bash all these people?
Right.
And I'm not trying to bash them, but I'm just saying, like, you got to figure out yourself before you can really go off and be like, well, and even then you might be wrong.
Right. Yeah. No. And at the end of the day, I mean, we get so caught up in such petty things while we're here on earth.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, I promise people are not going to be looking around going, oh my gosh. Yeah. But like, why did that girl lead those people to Jesus? Like, surely if you're standing in heaven, you'd be like, thank God. I don't care if it was a male or a female that led that soul to Jesus. Like, they're here in heaven, and that's what matters. So we just need to get, like, become kingdom minded and see that really all this is bigger than us. Like, it's bigger than our agenda. It's bigger than our
platforms and opinions. Everything. And
yeah, for sure.
And I think, I just feel too often people are just like, I'd rather argue things. But what I find odd is they go, these are, what do they call them? Like, so there's like the main things, like who Jesus is, like how do you get saved, those kind of things. And then there's like secondhand issues that people go, oh, I'm not trying to cause issues. And you're like, you're not trying to fix them either. Like, you're calling out someone for this
in the pot a little bit.
And then you go, I mean, it's kind of like that thing where you go like, hey, no offense, but I'm going to tell you, you look ugly. And they're like, that's offensive. Like, it doesn't matter if you said that.
Right. And you don't need to get offended about it.
Yeah. They're like, you shouldn't be mad. I said, no offense. You're like, that doesn't change one thing. You just called me ugly.
You slap me in the face and say, well, don't let that hurt you. Well, okay. That's what hurt.
Yeah. And I think God's just been really working on me about, like, hey, these are people. And and even with people saying, like, oh, that pastor's this, that pastor's that, this person's that, I'm like, they're still people. They make mistakes. They're still human.
Yeah.
It's odd that you think that you can just say something to someone who you have no relationship with. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm going to tell off Stephen Furtick because I don't like something he said, but I'm like, you do it. And I'm like, if you really had the guts, and this is just me getting on a little soapbox, is if you had the guts to go tell him that instead of on social media or whatever, you would fly your butt out to North or South Carolina. I can't remember where he's at. Set up a meeting, have a conversation with the guy, and he'd probably be like, I don't even know you, man. Like,
right.
And I mean, like, recently, I don't know if you've seen that guy with Joel Osteen calling him a certain name. And I was like, whether he was right or wrong, and I know Joel Osteen says some pretty crazy stuff, I'm not defending him in that aspect, but I'm defending him as a human being and that Jesus still loves him. And that he's wrong, but I have met people who said, if it wasn't for Joel Osteen, my wife would have never dug into her Bible and then got saved, which led her husband to get saved. Yeah. That's my friend. And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
Or even crazier, like Benny Hinn, who is wild and like done some really wild things. I met like a few people who are like, yeah, I if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have ever heard the gospel to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And or there was actually people who did get healed for reals in that. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's kind of crazy because I never even thought of it. Like, did they really get healed? And to even push the envelope further, is do you know who Ravi Zachariah is?
I don't think so, no.
So he's the one that had like a whole sex scandal with his massage person, but he died. So he died, and then that came out after he died. And I'm all, there's a lot of things that he said that were really good, like that hit the mark and all that. And I go, and it kind of takes you back to that verse of where it says, God's word will not return void. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's right that they do these things. But I definitely am like, what if God did call them? What if they are missing it? It's kind of, it reminds me of like David and Saul. Like, Saul was anointed. David could have killed him multiple times, but he was like, I can't kill who God chose. And so maybe they're off their rocker, maybe they're missing their mark. But I think instead of bashing people, you need to be praying for them. And if you really want to talk to them, then figure out a way to talk to them. But DMing them or putting a comment on a video from them and they get like 100,000 comments, they're never going to see you. Like the likelihood of that is 1 in 100,000. So.
Well, and I think, you know, my thing is not everybody is going to be your cup of tea. Like not every pastor is going to speak to you in the season that you're in, or, you know, there's some styles of preaching that I love and there's some styles of preaching that personally don't minister to me. But just because it doesn't minister to me doesn't mean that it doesn't minister to someone.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, rather than bashing them like, oh, you know, I didn't like that one sermon you did, so you're a horrible pastor. Rather than doing that, say, you know what? Clearly someone gets something out of this pastor and he is ministering to them and making a difference to them. And I'm going to pray that that pastor is anointed and walks in wisdom and discernment and knows how to better, you know, pastor their congregation and, you know, thrives as long as they're fulfilling God's will on their life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good approach to have with it.
So in your church, they've been super supportive. Have you not been supported at times, or have there been people that have been at church like, I don't agree with you, and have you dealt with that?
Yeah, honestly, my church right now is very, very, very supportive. The students, my volunteers. If there's anyone that doesn't agree with it, they have been very quiet for the last 3 years because it has not been brought to my attention, and it has not been...
That's good.
It's never been a problem. I think, you know, in the denomination I'm in, I feel like women in ministry is definitely encouraged. Like it is very encouraged. Like if there's a female that expresses the, like, hey, I feel called to be a pastor. They're like, hey, here's the steps to do that. Here's your resources. You got it. You know? Yeah. So, you know, I feel very blessed and fortunate to have grown up in that, in the Assemblies of God denomination, but also, in the church I'm at, like, I feel like everybody is very supportive of me as an individual, but also of my calling, even though I am female. So
what do you, how do you feel about a lead female pastor, and how is that biblical? How do you, I know that's a tough question, but
I was about to say, come on now. so, you know, there's some people that we're all called. Let me back up. Okay. in the church body, it's like a physical body. You know, you got the eyeball, the arm, the finger, the toe. We all have different functions and different purposes and different strong suits. There are some women and there are some men who are definitely not called to be senior pastors. Yeah. That has nothing to do with gender. That is just like their anointing, their calling, their abilities, their gifts does not fall under the job description of a senior pastor. Do yeah. I believe that whether you're female or male, and if you have those strengths, you have those gifts, you have the calling, the passion, all the things that make up that job description? Absolutely, I do support women in the senior pastor role. You know, as long as that's what you feel like you're called to do and you feel like that's what, you know, you were put on this earth to do and you feel like you're fulfilling your calling, yes, I do support that.
Awesome. How do they use, because I haven't really paid attention enough to say like, what do they use? Just that, is it mainly that one verse that they use?
It usually is. And actually on my TikTok, I've actually posted a response to that verse and explained the context behind it. And they did not like that when I posted that. they did not like that I spoke up. So, but yeah, if you would like to hear a clearer explanation, because I actually read part of the verse that they're referring to in that video. So definitely go check that out. But I posted that not that long ago. But yeah, it's mostly that one reference in scriptures that they use.
Oh, okay. That's what I was like, I wonder what it is that they use.
Yeah. And some of it's just tradition. Like, some of it literally has nothing to do, like, with what they've read in the Bible. It's just what they've been taught, you know?
Yeah. So, is it just more... I feel like it's more tradition because there... I mean, my grandma on my mom's side was more... what's it called? More of an evangelist. And so a lot of people would come talk to her and be like, hey, this is what I feel like God's leading me to, this kind of thing. And I feel like people would get mad at her because she's super blunt. But she's more blunt than other people's pastors, basically. And so they would not like that. She'd just be like, just so forward with them. And they're like, well, like, how do I describe it? Basically, they just were like, you can't do that. And she's like, well, you can watch me do that. So,
right.
There you go.
She's just confident.
So, it's just very interesting to see how much people will put down somebody to earn what they want, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
So
for sure.
So for you, what does, I guess, trying to think of the right words. What would you tell someone that has a calling on their life, and not even just a female, but like everybody around them is telling them no?
Well, before I answer, can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you.
Okay. My screen just says poor connection, so I didn't know if I lost connection or not.
No, I hear you.
Okay. Awesome. So, sorry about that.
You're good.
Anybody, whether you're male or female, you know, there, unfortunately, I wish that there was more support and encouragement available, because not everybody is fortunate enough to have a family that's like, yes, that's awesome. I want you to, you know, I mean, not everybody has that. Not everybody, that is called to ministry even grows up in a family that even attends church, you know? And so my advice to those people out there that maybe if you're listening and you're like, you know, I feel called, but gosh, like I wish I had some encouragement. I wish I had somebody in my corner that was like, wants me to succeed in this. My encouragement to you is, what I always tell my students, and I actually, it's funny, I posted a quote of this today. I always tell them, if God has called you to it, he will get you through it. Meaning, if God has called you to do something and he has put it in front of you, he will order your every step to get you where you need to be. But it's up to you to be obedient to the voice of God. And it's not always going to be easy. And it's not always going to be the popular choice. And not everybody's going to agree with your decisions and your process and your faith in God. But you have to make the choice to be obedient to his voice and say, God, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I know that you have good plans for me. And I know that you are laying out the right path in front of me. So that's my encouragement to anyone listening. If you feel like, you know, a lack of support, just know that if God has called you to it, he will get you through it. And he will give you the resources and the tools and the right connections at the right time. And you will get through this and make it to the other side and be like, wow, I'm so glad that I was obedient to God. So, yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of went a little preacher mode there.
No, it's good. So if you had any last things to say before maybe we head off on this podcast, what would you say?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything you're feeling led to talk about or say before we head off and shortly?
Yeah, my last thing, my thing I would love to just get across to people. First of all, if you're listening and you're a young person or whatever your age is and you feel called to ministry, if God's calling you to that, there's a reason he's calling you to that. Do not delay. Like, go do it. Start being obedient now, because delayed obedience is disobedience. So when God says go, you got to go. When he says start, start. When he says wait, wait. Like, listen to his voice in everything you do. That's my biggest encouragement, no matter your age, no matter your gender. If you're listening right now and you feel like the Lord is leading you to do something, do not delay. Go do it, be obedient, and have the faith that he'll provide for you and he'll order your every step. My other encouragement, I actually was on another podcast a week ago and I talked about this. And I'll just shortly.
No, you can take your all the time you want.
Yeah. Well, this is where I'll just end on and I'll just kind of, you know, wrap it up really quick, what I said last week. But I talked about on the other podcast, I said, you know, about how important it is for youth pastors, if you have young people in your youth ministry, no matter their gender, if you have a young person come to you and say, I feel called to be a youth pastor, I feel called to be a worship pastor, when they come and express that to you and tell you they feel called to the ministry, please encourage them and don't discourage them. Like, don't say to them, like, well, you're 12. How do you know that that's what God wants you to do? Because they are the future of the church. Like, we're going to age out, and one day it's them. They are the future pastors. They are the future missionaries. And if they don't feel like there's people believing in them to fulfill the call on their life, what's going to happen when there's all these churches that don't have a pastor? Yeah. Or, and I'm talking about decades down the road, obviously, but they are the future. And so, please encourage your students. And if you're a youth leader, you're a volunteer, a children's pastor, a senior pastor, whatever, use your influence, use your voice to encourage and uplift those around you that are younger or that are just starting. If they feel called to ministry, help them. Like, help them get started. Don't say, well, you know what? You got to prove to me that you're faithful and you're consistent. Like, encourage them, uplift them, and, you know, give them the right steps and the right tools to get started. So that's that. But that's pretty much all I got to say.
Well, something to add to that, like, we did a revival, and I don't know who you know that I know, like, the circles wise, but we did a revival in Arkansas in October. And one of the things that while we were doing it, I really felt God, like, lead me to say, like, basically, like, I was like, hey, don't get discouraged, like, where your kids are. And, like, really help your kids, lead your kids, guide your kids, because mm-hmm. you never know who your kid's going to be. I'm like, they could be the next Billy Graham, for all you know.
100%.
And if you shut them down, like, for instance, in my family, like, my middle mm-hmm. daughter is, like, has, like, a sweet, sensitive heart. Like, mm-hmm. but she can get angry as get out, too. But, like, one yeah. of the things that I really, like, love, and you see God differently, the way he works in just different people, because I have three kids, two girls and a boy, and, like, they are all so uniquely different, which shows different aspects of, like, who God is through people, basically. And I'm like, it's so interesting to watch, because I'm like, you see how God works through them. And even, like, my middle daughter is my prime example, because she tends to pray a lot more. And I'm like, it's weird to have a 7-year-old who's basically, like, kicking butt in her prayer life more than you're yeah. like, it's weird. I pray a lot, but, like, you just seem to know, like, and have a closer yeah. relationship with God than what I think I have a really good one. And I'm like, you seem even closer to God than me. Like, just right. some of the things, and, like, just her prayers in general is like, and I don't know, because she knew she had prayed and was like, God, please help. Hope that the baby that's coming is going to be a brother. And then she goes, mm-hmm. God told me it's going to be a boy. And then it was a boy. And, like, me and her both wow. knew. And I was like, and I don't think this is, like, any psychic stuff, so don't get mad at me, right. whoever's listening. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that no. she is following God with yeah. a childlike faith, because she is a child. Yep. And I'm like, I love to see that. And I think that's something that I talk with my wife about, and, like, hey, we need to protect that, because
yes.
that's something that I think a lot of parents forget, and youth leaders and youth pastors, is if somebody's like that, protect them, because they need that. They need somebody yeah. to say, hey, it's okay to be sensitive about that. And yeah. When God, like, really hits me, I get, like, teary-eyed, and, like, I'm all, ugh,
oh, yeah.
And, like, right. even when I'm, like, preaching or talking at something, and, like, the Holy Spirit really leads me, my eyes get watery and all that, and, like, it is what it is, but I'm like, it doesn't mean I'm weak, but it does in a way, because God is strong. So it doesn't yeah. mean I'm humanly weak. It means that I'm inferior to God, because I totally
exactly.
am.
Because we are, yeah.
He is our creator. He is everything to us. And a lot of times we think we're something when we're nothing without God.
Exactly.
And so,
very true.
With that, I don't know if you've listened to our podcast, but if you haven't, what we always ask is our guests to pray us out of the podcast.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this conversation that we had on this podcast tonight. Lord, I thank you for just this time of talking about you, talking about ministry. And Lord, I pray for everyone who listens to this podcast. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would keep them safe, Lord. I just speak blessings over them, their families, whatever situations they have going on right now. We just speak favor over their life, Lord. And Lord, I pray that for anyone who listens to this podcast, today, tonight, whenever they hear it, I just pray, Lord, that you would help them to leave here with an open heart and an open mind to what your word says about ministry and to what your word says about our callings. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone listening that is feeling discouraged or is feeling inferior or feels like they're not called or feels like they're not the right fit, the right candidate for ministry, Lord, I pray that you would empower them. Give them a strength, give them a boldness, give them a courage, give them a confidence like never before. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless them and keep them safe, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.